appreciate the good songs. Did that bust you?
Glad to have each one out tonight, and we got a pretty good crowd considering that the weather might get nasty before we get home tonight. But appreciate each one coming out, and you know, we're here to serve the Lord. That's what we're here for, to bring Him honor and glory. And I do have a desire for your prayers as I try to speak a little while. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, 1st verse. Peter said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. It says, for this they wittingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and that of the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements should melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that therein shall be burned up." As I was thinking and reading about these scriptures and meditating up on them, and I was thinking about the first verse here where it says, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your minds by way of remembrance," our pure minds, by way of remembrance. You know, that's something we all need to be, as God's people, we need to be stirred up. We need to remember of the things that happened years ago that these scriptures talked about. You know, it made a man today make a mockery of God's word. Seems like more than ever. We have a history of them always making fun of God, it seems like. Look when Jesus came into the world. God's only begotten Son, and how they made fun of him. They didn't believe who he was, but they all made fun of him. And look at his death. Look how he suffered. Look at the beatings that he took and how they nailed him to the cross at Calvary and how he suffered and how he died. You know, they was making a mockery of God then. Come down off the cross. Save yourself. If you save others, save yourself. They made fun of him. We as God's people, we need to get stirred up. If we look at the lives, we look at the times that we're living in today, it's sad. It's really sad. When we look at our government, and I'm not going to try to get political here or anything, but if you really look at our government today, people, we're in a sad, sad state of what our leaders, people that are elected officials, what they stand for. We're in a sad state. We need to be stirred up, people. We need to be stirred up. Because you know what? By the way of remembrance, they go back to the scriptures here because I can't quote it, so I'll read it. It says, "In saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Since for this they willingly are ignorant." They was willingly ignorant because things wasn't the same. Where is his coming? You know, things haven't changed since the promise of his coming. Things had changed. Because back in Noah's day, sin became so great that God destroyed the world as we know it today. The great waters, it rained, and the great flood came. Things didn't remain the same from the beginning of creation. Things did change. It grieved God that he created man, but he did found favor in somebody, found favor in Noah. He saw that Noah was a godly man and a righteous man, and he saved Noah and his family, but he did destroy the earth as we know it and brought the waters upon it, the great flood. So the man that were mocking God and mocking God's word, they were ignorant to it. They was making a mockery of it, but they was ignorant to what the truth really was. Where is Christ is coming? Where is the man? Where is the Savior? Well, I want to say that he did come. He did come, and he's coming again. I believe that with all my heart. And we as God's people, we need to get stirred up. You that may be lost and be accountable to God, you need to think about that. Christ did come into this earth as a man. He was born in this world as a babe. He walked upon this earth as a man. He began his ministry by the record of Luke about the age of 30. And he walked upon this earth and he taught and he preached that the kingdom of God, it was at hand. And you know what? Even then, people didn't want to believe it. Just as we preach God's word today and preach Jesus today, they still do not believe it. They believe it because they choose to be ignorant about it. Why do I say that? Because we have God's word right here. We have preachers standing and trying to preach the truth today, preaching the true word of God, not the heresies that you see that go on in other places or so-called churches, if you want to call them churches. But there's heresies and false doctrines go on today. But there are churches and there are men that are still standing and preaching the truth as they have through the years. But if we cut the TV on and we read things, it's far and few in between. They're still God's people, people like us, we that know about salvation and have had experienced salvation and have felt it in our hearts, knowing how our hearts become pricked and how we got convicted, and then the Lord put that peace in our heart. We know about that. And that's one reason that we ought to have our hearts stirred up today, because of the way things are going. I'm not up here to preach doom and gloom. But you know what? Christ is coming back. It's going to be a doom for some people. It's going to be a gloomy day for some people. Those that have made a mockery out of God's word, those that make fun of God, those that make fun of the preachers that stand and preach the truth, those that make fun of us that are out in the public in our workplace and stuff, then, you know, people laugh at us. Some of them might laugh behind your back. And I tell you what, they sure don't have respect for God's people today. I remember even being a lost individual. If I was around a preacher, I had respect for him. I watched my language. I watched my mouth. I watched my actions. There's a certain way that I still act around him because I had respect for the man of God. I had respect for Christians. Those that profess to be Christians, I had respect for them. But you know what? Nowadays, people don't have respect for us. They don't want to hear what we've got to say. They make fun of us. They make a mockery of it. And that's sad. that should stir our hearts up. Why should it stir our hearts up? Because we know the truth. We know the truth. Why should it stir our hearts up? Because we have friends. Because we have loved ones. Because we have husbands. We have wives. We have children. We have grandchildren. We have brothers and sisters that don't know the Lord. And I tell you, that should stir our hearts up. That should ask us to pray our heart out and ask the Lord to burden our hearts in a way like it's never been burdened before. We even, as God's people, the way times are getting, we even get caught up into the world too much. I'm guilty of it. I'll be the first to tell you here that I'm guilty of getting caught up in the things of this world instead of keeping my heart and mind on the Word of God like I need to. It's easy to get pulled in, draw in. Boy, that devil, boy, he's sharp, ain't he? He was sharp back in the day of Adam and Eve, wasn't he? He sure was a trick. You know, he could trick people. He tricked them. He's still tricking people today. He's sly. Scriptures tell us about how tricky he is and how conniving he is. And he's a liar. It's what he is. He's a liar. But you know what? It seems like it. People are willing to believe a lie more than they are to believe the truth. Ain't that sad? It is. It's sad that people are willing to trust in fables and false doctrine and believe lies than to believe the truth. People, we got the truth. I believe that with all my heart. We've got the truth, and we need to continue to spread the truth and do the best that we can do. I've been lazy. I need to get off my tail and get busy. We all do. There's probably every one of us. If we'd really admit to it, every one of us has been lazy and not doing the things that we really need to truly be doing. We need to be serving the Lord, people. And I'm preaching to myself here, okay? I'm preaching to myself here too. God saved us through His mercy and through His grace. But we're to serve Him. We're His servants. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be serving Him and not the world and not this flesh. But we need to be serving God Almighty. We need to be serving that babe that came into the earth and walked upon this land and began His ministry at the age of 30 and gave His life about the age of 33 and a half. We need to be serving Him. We need to be laboring for Him. Because there is a time coming that the Scriptures tell us that He's coming back. And we know by reading the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures that no man knows when that time is. That ought to get us on fire. Instead of being the fire put out, we ought to be on fire and to serve the Lord because of the loved ones and the friends that we know that are lost that need to be saved. Sometimes we get discouraged as God's people because we can go to our lost. We can go to those that we love and know that they need to be saved and they act like they're not concerned a bit. And we get discouraged with that sometimes. But you know what? We need to have patience. We need to have patience. It seems that we have a tendency that we want things right now. But God's time is not our time. Scripture's down here. It says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But His long-suffering, that tells me that God's patient. If He's long-suffering, He's patient. He's putting it off. He's putting off. God's putting off sending his son back. He's being patient with us, people, brothers and sisters. You that are lost, you that have never been saved by his grace, you that have never been born again, experienced that salvation, God is being patient with you right now. But what's the old saying? Sometimes patience grows thin. I think God's patience is going to grow thin. Why I say that is because right now the scriptures teach us that he's long-suffering, but there's going to be a time that he's going to say enough is enough, and he's going to send his son back. His patience is going to wear thin. He's going to look at this world today and look at the sin that is in this world. I think the scriptures teach us and tells us about Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, we know about how it was destroyed through the fire and the brimstone. It was burned up with fervent heat. Why did the scriptures tell us what's going to happen to this earth? Yeah, he destroyed it once with the flood, but the second time is going to be destroyed with fire. Is that not what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that not what happened to the people in those cities because the sin was so great? You look at what's happening to us today. You look at the laws that are being passed today. It's sad. It is so sad. They don't need to be passing laws for the same-sex marriages. It don't need to be done. It's wrong. Preachers that stand and say they preach God's word and say they're God-called preachers, and they stand and they're marrying them? It's wrong. I don't get that out of God's word that I read, Old or New Testament. Some want to argue, well, that's Old Testament, you know, because they stoned them to death in the Old Testament, but we don't live by that. Well, I live by the whole word of God is what I live by. That's what I put my trust and that's what I put my faith in, is the whole word of God, not just part of it. Not that I don't fail sometimes and I make mistakes, but it's not right. Are we to hate these people? No, we're not supposed to hate them. We're supposed to love them, try to bring them in that they might be saved and change them from their wicked ways. But the government does not need to be setting up laws to say it's okay. It's okay to do it. But it's happening. It's happening in different states, but you know what? It's going to magnify. And every time you turn around, a different state is going to pass the law that it's okay. And it's okay. You think that's pleasing God? I don't think so. I don't think so. And that's why I'm not up here to say I'm preaching doom and gloom. I'm just preaching what God's word teaches us. And because the sin is going to come go great. And if we look what was going on in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, if we look what was going on in that city that Lot was in, if we look at what those elderly men and the young man, when they came to Lot's house and wanted them angels, and ask them to come out that they may know them. Have you ever looked up? Get a Webster's Dictionary and read what know means or what new means. It don't give you the definition what we think. Well, I know Brother Ernie. It's a whole different ball game in the old archaic language. It's different. It's got a whole different meaning to it. Pull it up someday and read it. And it talks about the sexual acts, basically, that are going on today. You know, when I first started getting in the church and studying God's word and they talked about the homosexuality in Sodom and Gomorrah, and I didn't understand that because I couldn't never really read that in the scriptures. It never literally said that I might be able to understand it in the King James Version. But then I stumbled over just doing a I guess I just say the Lord led me to it. I was just flipping through a big dictionary, the Webster Dictionary, and I come across know and knew and knowledge and read the definitions of it. And I thought, wow, I didn't know this. Pull it up and read it. And then I went back to where the elderly man and the young man came to Lot's house and asked him, bring those men out that we may know them. And then I thought about Adam and Eve, and this will make sense to you. Keep up with the word know that I'm talking about. They said, bring these men out. Bring them angels out. They didn't know those angels, but bring the man out that we may know them. And when I read that definitions and stuff in the dictionary, it made sense to me. And then I got to thinking about Adam and Eve. And what's the scripture say? It says, Adam knew Eve, and they begot children. Making sense to you? Put it together. That's what's going on today. What went on in the day of Lot is going on today. And you know what? It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. That's just part of it. Sin is becoming great. Yes, sin has always been in the world, but sin, I feel like, is being exercised more and more and more. The morality of people is not what it used to be. The morals of people, it is not what, saved or unsaved, the morals of people aren't what they used to be. It's getting to the point and the place in our time that if you ain't been saved by the grace of God, and not that we're perfect and not that we don't make mistakes, but if you haven't been saved, if you ain't been born again, if you hadn't experienced that spiritual birth, the morals of this country is decayed in a bad, bad way. And it's going to continue to decay, I believe. Talk about our government. People don't like what's going on up there. People don't like who's in charge of our nation. The people put them there. When he was running, people say, well, God will give us who we need. That ain't necessarily true. When you think about the day of Judges, when the Israels wanted a king, they wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted a king like the other nations. Wasn't God's plan. It was the people of Israel. They wanted a king, just like the rest of them. God gave them a king, but it grieved God in his heart. They wanted a king. It wasn't what was best for the nation of Israel, but God gave them what he wanted. And then when I turn around and look at the things going in our nation today, our nation as a whole, he didn't give us what was best for us. He gave what the people was asking for. And I tell you what, we're paying dearly for it. We're paying dearly for it. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. With a great heat, a fervent heat. It's going to melt with a great heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The Lord is long-suffering. It says 1,000 years to the Lord. Let's say it says 1 day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as 1 day. No man knows when he's coming back. But when I look and see what's going on in this world today, coming close. I think about the elements, the heavens and the elements is going to burn with the fervent heat. And I think I've made mention of this before, and I'm not no scientist, and I don't read a lot. But I think about the stars when they fall from the sky, the meteor showers. And when you look up, they're actually really a pretty thing. But you know what? They burn out before they get to us. Most of them do. Every once in a while, one might make it through the atmosphere and hit somewhere. But what was it back in Russia here in the past year or two ago? I'm not sure how long it was. I can't keep up with time when that meteor come through the sky. That it came through so fierce that it wasn't even close, but miles away, that windows and buildings and stuff shook and windows shattered. Done a lot of destruction through a community, and it wasn't really that close to it. Well, I believe when the time comes, when the elements start falling, the stars are going to start falling from the sky. I think if you could just look at that little bit of destruction, what went on then, can you imagine what it's going to do and what's going to happen the day when the Lord says, enough is enough? When His patience, there is no more. That it grieves me that I created man. Son, go back and get my people. Those that put their faith, those that put their trust in you, those that repented to me with a broken heart and cried out to me with that broken heart and trusted in the work that you did at Calvary, believing in that death, burial, and resurrection, those that believe that with all their heart, those that have been covered by that blood, those that have been regenerated, born again, you go get those people. They're my people. You go get them and bring them home. Because the time has come, and I'm going to destroy the world, and there will be no more. But my people, they shall be with me. My people shall be with you. This place where you come and provide a place for them, that mansion that the scriptures talk about. Not a mansion, but a place that we're going to be able to dwell in. See, in our old flesh and carnal mind, and we think of mansions, and I think I've made mention before, we think that we're going to have a big, fancy place. Well, it don't have to be fancy for me. All I know that Jesus went back and prepared a dwelling place for me to live. And that's where I'm going to live. Where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. That's where I'm going. Is that where you're going? If that time comes, is that where you're going? Or are you going to end up in hell? Where there's pain and suffering. Eternal suffering, never ending. I got news for you. The Word of God tells me that Christ is coming back. And my warning is to you, you better be prepared. May God bless you, my prayers. Brother Miller.